Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the fourth quarter FY12 earnings conference call for Grasim Industries, hosted by Enam Securities Limited. As a reminder, for the duration of this conference, all participants' line will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. If you should need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touchtone phone. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jagdishwar Topo. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sama. Welcome everyone to Grasim Industries Q4 Financial Year 12 earnings call. From Grasim, we have with us Mr. K.K. Maheshwari, Managing Director, Mr. Adesh Gupta, Full-Time Director and CFO. From UltraTech, we have Mr. K.C. Birla, Executive President and CFO, and other senior management team of Grasim as well as UltraTech. Without much delay, I hand over the floor to Mr. Radhesh Gupta for his opening remark. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Jagdishwar. Good morning and welcome to all participants on this Grasim's conference call for quarter four results. As you must have received the detailed presentation, I will limit my opening remarks to some key highlights. At the start, I would like to mention that our consolidated revenue has crossed rupees 25,000 crores against, that is about 5 billion for the year. The turnover for the quarter was 7,289 crores. Our profit for the year has gone up by 16% from rupees 2,279 crores to rupees 2,647 crores. The net profit for the quarter was higher than the preceding quarter of 669 crore to rupees 809 crores. Moving to the business highlight, I will start with VSF business. Sales volume for the quarter at 94,900 tons increased 11% on YOY basis, led by higher exports despite slowdown in Eurozone, which continues to affect global textile industry. Average realizations for the quarter were lower by 16% on YOY basis. You will please recall that in quarter four last year, realizations of all fibers were at peak, led by cotton shortage. Besides lower realizations, sharp increase in the prices of caustic soda and coal also affected margins. The impact of rising caustic prices was, however, offset by higher profitability of chemical business. On account of lower realizations and higher cost, on a standalone basis, VSF PBIT at rupees 232 crores was lower by 55%. The consolidated PBIT of VSF business was lower by 55% at rupees 252 crores, mainly due to higher input cost for pulp JVs. At Domzo, profitability was better with higher volumes and write-back of exchange losses. Grasim's one-third share in the net profit is rupees 23 crores. The chemical business delivered another quarter of good performance. The caustic prices remained firm as industry is not able to utilize capacity fully due to lower chlorine offtake. PBIT at rupees 32 crores was up by 10% on account of higher volumes. Coming to cement business, in cement, the industry demand growth recovered from 5.2% in Q4 last year to 8.8% during the quarter. UltraTech capacity utilization improved from 88% in quarter four last year to 94% in this quarter. Consolidated cement volumes were higher by 9%. Revenues increased by 19% with higher volumes of all products. Improved realizations to pass on cost increase also helped. Realizations for the quarter was gone up from rupees 3,735 per ton to rupees 4,070 per ton. Variable manufacturing cost increased by 10% year-on-year on account of increased in energy cost. We have been optimizing our fuel mix, which has helped in reducing the impact of higher coal prices. PBIT increased by 31% to rupees 1,490 crores. Coming to the financial performance, consolidated revenue for the year were higher by 17% at rupees 25,244 crores. Consolidated PBIT was rupees 6,320 crores as against 5,395 crores in the previous year also recording a growth of 17%. At rupees 2,647 crores, the net profit increased by 16%. On a standalone basis, net profit for the during the year was maintained despite the VSF business constraints performance owing to market conditions as explained earlier. In the fourth quarter, consolidated revenue rose by 12% at rupees 7,289 crores. PBIDT grew by 6% from 1,780 crores to 1,883 crores. Consolidated net profit for the quarter has improved sequentially from rupees 669 crores in quarter 3 to rupees 809 crores in this quarter, an increase of 21%. Coming to CAPEX, VSF and cement expansion projects are progressing as per schedule. Total CAPEX under implementation including subsidiary is about 14,000 crores, including work in progress of rupees 4,180 crores. In FY12, we have spent rupees 4,254 crores. We expect to spend about 7,900 crores in the current year and the balance rupees 2,000 crores in FY14. Lastly, to summarize, VSF business was impacted due to difficult global conditions despite better operating performance. Stability in Eurozone and macroeconomic policies will influence VSF demand going forward. Cement business performed well, helped by improved demand. In cement, the surplus scenario is likely to continue for 3 years, taking into account 8% projected growth in demand. The volumes will go up with growth in demand and adding to the profitability. In the present context, rising cost poses a challenge for both the businesses. Capacity expansions under implementation is VSF by 50%, cement by 20%, caustic soda by 70%, and Domjo by 20% will provide additional volumes, leading to rapid growth and further consolidation of its leadership, mainly for financial year 13-14. Finally, with the growth in consolidated profit, the board has proposed a dividend of rupees 22.5 per share against 20 last year. I would now request the moderator to open the forum for queries. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Participants are requested to use handsets only while asking a question. Also, each participant is requested to limit their questions up to two. For any further questions, kindly come back to the question queue. Anyone who has a question at this time may press star and one. We have the first question from the line of Amrut Mathur from Investor Guide. Please go ahead.
There were two things. One is that there's been a trend of cement prices have started weakening in the run-up to the monsoons in the different markets in the north and south. Can you just comment on that? And also, can we expect the VSF business to continue with a lackluster performance given the Eurozone problem, or you're seeing some turnaround? Thanks.
Yeah, basically, if you see the cement prices, particularly the north and east, the prices is consistent. There is no downfall. And little correction is there in the western and eastern part of the country.
Western and eastern? Western and?
West and east part.
West and east is a correction. Okay. Is it the typical run up to the monsoon season, I'm trying to understand?
No, actually it's not. Practically, if you see the demand growth is almost flat, 1 or 2% growth.
Okay.
Added with because of number of festival and the sand issue across Rajasthan, MP and okay. Andhra Pradesh, which has impacted the demand.
Okay.
And I think April, May, June should be a good month.
Okay. And also your VSF forecast going forward, do you expect any change or can we expect this lackluster to go forward in the VSF business?
You know, VSF business, I think the last time or the time before that was that I think we have tended to take the period about last year, end of 10-11 and beginning of 11-12 as a reference point where for various reasons reasons, cotton prices shot through the roof, and along with it, pulled up the prices of all fibers, as well as of the critical raw materials which go into the textile chain. I think that was an abnormal period, and using that as a reference point, I do not know if it would be, whenever we look at normalization, I believe the outlier, I think at the either end, like 2008 crisis or the 2011 peak, yeah, I don't know if they are included. My personal view is possibly not. So what we are observing is that at the current prices, the Chinese, which are the major competition in the world for textile industries, including for VSF, are not in a position to sustain their operations. We track their performance, and most of them are losing money at even current prices.
Okay.
And so I do not know that they would have an appetite for taking the prices down any further.
If you could just indicate what is the current VSF price, would that be possible?
Excuse me, let me, I think, just complete my answer, and then I'm quite happy to take a follow-on question, because otherwise, you know, we get off track.
Okay, fair enough.
The other important point which needs to be factored in along with the prices is what happens to raw materials. So last year, if you see, you know, the abnormal rise in the prices of caustic is again linked to the very lackluster performance of the entire housing industry globally, leading to a downturn in PVC demand, led to abnormally high prices of caustic globally, which obviously impacted us very significantly. So, of course, when you look at VSF standalone, so of course, you will find the corresponding benefit of it having flown to the chemical business. And the other thing which is now becoming a major wild card is the FX. So, you know, it will also have its own impact on the profitability of companies because these are very wild swings. So what I would say is that unless there is a sort of a major catastrophe globally, I don't think that we should have for this reason of profitability. And we do believe that eventually even in China, there would be this global pressure building up should hopefully pressure them to reform to a more economic-based decision-making model, and that should eventually help the industry world over.
If you just tell us the pricing of VSF currently, what is currently prevailing, and is it higher than the Q4 levels or lower than Q4 levels? I'm just trying to understand.
They keep going up and down, but I would say that they would be around the same levels as that now, of course. Maybe a few cents here or there really, you know, doesn't count, because then eventually, you know, the impacts of various other things, like I mentioned, you wrong to the extra of needs to be factored.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Reena Verma from DSP Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Morning, everyone. Thank you for the call.
Yeah.
I want to just follow up on the earlier query on VSF. Please, can you walk us through what has really happened in 4Q in terms of realizations? Is it a drop, or is it a conscious decision to do some destocking? You typically in past have had year-end discounts in this quarter. So I'm just trying to understand what's the market price and how much is the net price impacted by just destocking decisions? If you can please help us. And my second question is, in various points in your presentation, you've talked about energy costs and input costs, even for the VSF business. It would be very helpful if you could just offer a line-by-line, you know, on the key input elements, what your outlook is, please. Thank you.
First of all, let me clarify that there is no year-end clearance sale that we have. I think that's, I do not know. If someone has given that information, please do share it with us, because we would like to understand how this misconception has gone around the place. Because we have, you know, it's an industrial product, so you don't push it the way, you know, consumer product companies would typically push it with ultra discounting, you know.
So has your inventory fallen from third quarter levels, or at least almost nearly halved?
Yeah, but that's, you know, because if you will see the Q3, well, the market conditions were even softer, and then in Q4 there has been slight uptake. And as you would have noticed that these days what is happening is that people are working with very low inventories across the value chain. And therefore what we are, you would have observed, I'm sure in most industrial commodities is that the slightest of uptake, it doesn't have to be a huge run-up, but the slightest of uptake is that everyone is out to buy and sometimes, you know, at the slightest sign of slowdown, people sort of pull back and start watching. So there has been no major impact of any, and there has been no discounting done. The prices reflect the global prices and a mix between domestic and exports, you know, because sometimes you have greater export demand and sometimes lower export demand. But other than that, you know, other than that there has been no listing, and the prices sort of reflect the global prices of the commodities which you're selling.
So just a quick follow-up there. In terms of inventory days, you know, are you kind of expecting the current level to prevail, or you think there's hope for it to go down further?
I think you know, the inventory level should, I think, stay around this. It could fluctuate in a very small narrow band. Because really, if you see, we are not, you know, compared to our size of our operation, the inventory which we are carrying is very minuscule. So I think reading too much into a fluctuation of 1,000 or 2,000 tons on a 15,000, 16,000 tons inventory really is, you know, possibly not the right way of looking at it. Because if you compare it with our total size, and if you compare the finished goods inventories, generally with industrial products, you would find that our inventory levels are fairly under control.
Okay, thank you. Can I get some outlook on the input costs, please?
See, the input cost, like, you know, the pulp prices generally tend to also, in a way, mirror the fiber prices. Beyond a point, you know, like whenever there's a huge upsurge in VSF prices, the pulp prices tend to go up. Maybe there's a time lag, and similarly, they tend to come down. Caustic prices are expected to continue to be strong for the reasons we just shared with you in terms of global economic environment, especially pertaining to housing. And sulfur prices, again, you know, are expected to remain at their current levels without much softening bias. Energy costs, you know, again, you know, I hope they come down, because if you've seen what's happening on oil in the last 1 week, then eventually all of these should have an impact on coal, maybe even with some lag. And we do hope it happens, because, you know, you can't have a situation. But again, let me tell you very honestly, these are all being distorted because of the very heavy commodities position which are being taken by bankers globally in these commodities. So there is an element of, one should say, a bit of unreasonable pricing which gets reflected from time to time due to their holding power. But eventually, everything has got to reflect the economic reality. And therefore, we do believe that if oil prices are any indication, then energy prices should soften now. I wouldn't, it's anyone's call whether it happens now or a little later. But certainly, if trend seems to be positive towards reduction in prices of energy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rishabh Potra from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Just want to understand, since the margins were quite low, we have seen lower margins in June 05, September 08. what was the main reason? Because last quarter we had maintained a roughly 25% margin, and this time roughly 15% margin in VSF. Though I understand global scenario plus the input cost pressures have resulted in such low margin, but what would be a healthy margin going forward? Will a forex, I mean rupee appreciation, improve our margins?
No, I think the main factor
here
is obviously in these industries are the realization of raw material prices, and sometimes also the inventory effect of whatever prices at which you are carrying your raw material inventory, in case there has been a fluctuation in those. So, as I explained to you, that when you look at these numbers, numbers, you must also appreciate the fact that a large number of our competitors in China are actually losing out and are having cash losses. And that's the tragedy of the whole situation, that China is not held accountable for economic principles of management on which all of us have to operate. But even then we find that, you know, they also seem to have no more appetite for reducing prices below a particular threshold level. I think as I explained to you that, yes, it's been a tough quarter and globally economic situation is tough. But again, that also, as I told you, we look at it, it's a question of half a glass, half full or half empty.
Right.
Or does it lead to some, you know, recognition of bad loans in the entire Chinese system? Does it lead to the Chinese taking more commercial decisions with respect to their financing of industrial enterprises? There are larger questions which will impact all of us. But one thing which we can tell you is that we have consistently outperformed all our competitors, and that is getting reflected even in these results.
Okay.
Yes, the pressures were there on the margins, largely due to the market conditions. And, you know, we believe that the possibilities of market conditions in down possibly appear to be less. Anyway, you know, all of us have to be very watchful of what's happening in the global environment, and we don't think that Chinese will be able to withstand for margins than at current.
Okay. And one more thing, sir, since we are expanding capacity, which will come on stream by the year end, and FY14 will be operating at 100% utilization for the new capacities, will, if in case the current prices for VSF remains the same, how are we going to get impacted on margin front, because additional depreciation would come in, and the input cost pressures will, even if it still remains the same, will be there. So how do we see the margins going forward in FY14?
You know, one point is that the last project is geared more towards specialty, which typically fetch a little higher realization than normal viscose staple fibers. So that should help us slightly. And of course, whenever you have a capacity expansion, you know, the additional interest and depreciation does tend to get reflected in the some time. But you will also appreciate the fact that, you know, we are, the full production would come in about a year's time from now. And hopefully by that time, you know, the, as I explained to you, the global situation would have either gone into an uptrend, or we believe that otherwise even the Chinese would have to take a very hard call on how much they want to keep pumping money to subsidize their non-commercial enterprise. Those are effectively, you know, eventually when we take a decision on CapEx, it has to be based on our longer term outlook, which we do believe is positive for the reasons which we explained to you earlier, that if you take a longer term trend, cotton is stagnating at about 25 million tons. And even if the demand for textiles is inching up by 3 to 4% as it has in the past, then also you will find that there would be a huge demand for other fibers. And we do believe that the intrinsic properties of VSF, which is natural product, biodegradable product, more friendly to the skin, more suitable for the tropical climate, which is there in this part of the world where the economies are growing, population is growing, should portend well over the long term for the demand of VSF. So that's our belief. And we would always target at making our operations cost-effective operations, so that irrespective of the fluctuations in the market, we can continue to outperform everyone by everyone.
Thanks, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. In case I have further questions, I'll come up.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajit Motwani from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, my question is on cost. You did say, you know, there could be an effect of some high cost, you know, inventory that you were carrying. Can you just elaborate, you know, what was the variable cost per ton during 3Q and what was that in 4Q for VSF business?
I think what I would like to tell you is that the PBDIT ratio possibly reflects next growth, because I think you'll appreciate as an investor also that breakup to variable cost beyond a point are not in the interest of anyone to be shared across this aircraft. But I do believe that the level of profitability ratios are a fair indication, because our fixed costs don't sort of shoot up through the roof. So I would say that they are a fairly well indication. And when I said, you know, again, please understand that, you know, my worry is that you've got to start understanding that even if there's a 10,000, you know, if the price comes down by $50 and you have about, pulps 1 month inventory,
sure,
about like 25,000, you know, it gets reflected and people say, okay, now 10 crores and 10 crores divided by the quantity starts reflecting into 1,000 rupees per ton and you start getting all worked up, you know. So I think that's what I was trying to highlight when I explained that particular bit. But let me tell you, neither do we maintain very significant inventories of raw materials or finished products for that matter. So I'm just trying to explain to them, because, you know, like we tend to look at it in a point-to-point basis, whereas I think in a running enterprise, it's very difficult to measure point-to-point issues, you know, because there are always impacts of various commitments that you have at all points of time.
Okay. Sure, sir. Sir, last question is on this capex. If I look at the capex for Vilayat and the chemical plant at Vilayat, you know, as compared to 3Q, the cost have gone up by about 200 odd crores, you know, as per your presentation. Just wanted to have a, you know, brief understanding of the same.
Yeah, part of that reflects the increase in civil cost, and part of that reflects the depreciation in currency.
Okay. Sure. And look, can we quantify this one-time remembraning cost for the chemical division? How much was that for the quarter?
About 9 crore.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Participants, just a reminder again. Anyone who has a question at this time may press star and 1. We have the next question from the line of Vivek Maheshwari from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question, sir. First on VSF again, the volumes 94.9, this was the highest ever that you did. So I'm still not sure, was there anything, you know, stocking up or something in the channel which actually took up this number to this level?
No, I think as I explained to you that if you look at it, you know, like the previous quarter, the sales were a little lower.
Mm-hmm.
And that's again linked, I think, you know, if you were to look at your event, you know, the global event which was holding out in Q3, you will realize that everyone had, at least in the beginning, gone into a big shell. And that's what reflected the slightly lower volume, which has been made up in Q4. But as I told you, that there were also then, you know, good export demand during that period. And it's all got to reflect with the, you know, little bit of optimism that crept into the world in Q4 of 11-12, Jan-March period.
Okay. And, I mean, as you mentioned, the Chinese players or capacities are still may not be making money and all that. Is it possible that, you know, the some part of this growth could be coming because some of these guys would not be selling, or they continue to be, you know, there in the markets as much as they were before?
You know, of course, they whenever the prices go below a particular threshold, and that's obviously a reflection of sometimes slight downturn in demand, the more ineffective players obviously have to take a call whether they would keep putting money from their pocket or let their bankers put the money, or rather, you know, slow down their operations. I guess that is what it is getting reflected, and I would again request you to please understand that a 10,000 ton volume fluctuation on our yearly sales of 300,000 tons and even our group sales of over 700,000 tons globally and over 3 million tons market, possibly, you know, I think you should take the figures in a particular context rather than, you know, looking at them. And if you see that in last quarter there was you know, the inventory buildup of over 6,000 tons. Now, 6,000 tons works out to what, like 1 week's inventory, you know, and the total inventory is still not, wasn't very high. So that's what I'm saying, that, you know, like this 10,000 tons or whatever we talk about is 7 to 10 10 days of inventory. So I think what is happening is that traditionally we operated on very low levels of inventory, and therefore I think this 1 week fluctuation, I don't think I would like to, get running an industry. I don't think anyone gets overly worked up about that or, goes in for a distress type of measure because of that. So I would request you to look at the things in the context and compare them with the inventory levels of other industrial companies, while we judge all these issues.
Okay, sure. And on cement business, sir, this quarter's presentation mentions that, you expect supply scenario likely to continue for next 3 years. The tone, while you were mentioning it in the third quarter as well, but the tone is incrementally, at least looked a little more negative to me, because in the previous preceding quarter, third quarter, you said it is going to subside gradually in the next 2-3 years. So any, do you believe, and what would be your estimates on demand for fiscal 13, if at all? I know it's a difficult one, but what would be your best guesstimate today?
See, as far as sentiments are concerned, between Q3 and now, sentiments have been definitely improved, and which is evident from the sales growth in the Q4. So I don't think that we are talking of a pessimistic scenario. We have become more pessimistic than in Q3.
Additionally, you see there is a continuous addition of the new capacity also. So when new capacity is there, therefore we say that the scenario, surplus scenario, will continue for next 2 to 3 years period.
Okay, which will essentially imply that the volatility will remain high, which is what you have been highlighted in your presentation, right?
Yeah, that's right, because of demand supply.
Okay. And just one small thing on cement. I remember a few quarters back you were talking about 25 million tons over the next 5 years, of which 10 million ton, which indeed is in progress. Any thoughts on that 25 million ton, the remaining 15 million ton, if at all, do you want to pursue it now that,
We are very much pursuing the 25 million ton, definitely we are pursuing, but it makes sense to announce only when we are in advanced stage of the implementation of a schedule. See, today putting up any cement plant, the approval takes a lot of time, and unless we have all the approvals in place, we would not like to announce any project.
Okay. And sir, how much time it takes today for a greenfield plant, start to end, and what will be the cost in dollars per ton roughly?
Actually, you see that we are expecting for getting all these government clearance and land acquisition 1 year period.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, everything order or this every approval is in place, and we are expecting that around 25 to 30 months period for the commissioning of the plant.
So roughly around 3.5 to 4 years.
Right. And just Adesh, you mentioned that about 25 million ton. Even for maintaining our market share, we require 5 million ton capacity each year. And therefore, we are talking about addition of 25 million ton by FY16 and so.
Okay. And how much it costs, sir, for a greenfield plant, including land and everything today, roughly?
I think with all railway infrastructure, power plant, grinding unit and everything, nothing less than $150 to $160 per ton.
$150, $160.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Snigna Sharma from Karma Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks. So there is this CCI inquiry going on, alleging cartel cement companies.
Yes.
Just wanted to know, do we have a sense on how strong their argument is and the kind of impact it can have on our financials?
See, basically, since we have not indulged in any of these practices, which we have clarified from time to time, and we feel that we do not expect any liability per se, but you do not know. You never know what mood. You must have seen that in some of the other industries also, they have taken a very aggressive stand at that.
Right.
So, but anything happens, ultimately we are sure that we will succeed, and there will be no liability.
Right. So, and we do not have any sense on what kind of you know, penalties could
be. See, I'm not on this, I'm not sitting on the other side that anyone. See, I know that I'm clear, and I'm not expecting any kind.
Correct. Okay, thanks. And the second one, I guess you mentioned in the beginning of the call, and I guess I missed that. You mentioned that cement prices have started correcting in the west and the south. Is that correct?
No, we said practically the north and east, the prices is at the same level. But yes, there is little softening in the west and southern part of the country,
okay,
where the price we've seen is 5 to 10 rupees in different market correction.
See, considering the present demand-supply gap scenario, these prices will remain volatile for some time, and that is what we have said in our outlook also. So, see, there is no need to panic every day that any prices have gone down or the prices.
Okay. All right. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pinakin Parekh from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. My first question, can you give us a sense of your domestic realizations versus your export realizations? What is the difference? And what would be the volume split as well? Because I would have thought that, you know, the rupee was, quarter on quarter was slightly weaker, so that would have aided your export realization. So some color over there?
You're talking of which business?
VSF. Sorry.
You know, the prices, even in India, reflect international prices. And you'll appreciate that even if the rupee changes by the day, we cannot change our prices by the day for our consumers, because otherwise that would lead to a tremendous difficulty in their operating or anyone operating their business. So one, as I was explaining earlier on to the question, that there's always going to be a lead and lag effect when you're running an industry. You know, these are not markets where every day a change in pricing could get reflected. So we export roughly about, somewhere between 20-25% of our production. And in that range, our exports are there, and we hope that those exports will continue in that range, because we have to keep, we are the world leaders in dyed fiber, so one, we export some dyed fiber. Secondly, again, considering that the development of the textile industry around the region, you'll find that there are lots of opportunities for us to export our products. And there's always also the aspect, you'll appreciate that when you have a contract, it takes a few days for you to ship out the material. But basically, all our prices reflect the international prices. So when they move up, our prices move up. If there's a reduction in global prices, our prices will come down. Of course, like I explained to you earlier, that it cannot reflect day-to-day price fluctuations. And sometimes also, when there is a, movement in spot prices, like for example, let me tell you, when the prices around January to March of 11, when they went to very unreasonable levels, I don't think we did not increase our prices of VSF that much. And I think it was the right thing for us to do, because that would have led to a total collapse of the businesses. And if you see the entire problems of cotton textile industry, that will explain to you what happens in this case of volatility. If you look back at 10-11 and maybe the first quarter of 11-12, I think the cotton spinning industry was one of the happiest industries in this country. And over the last 1 year, they have come to grief when they say that they would, unless government bails them out, they would have huge problems. So I don't think it's in our interest to behave in an irresponsible manner with our customers. So therefore, you will find that our pricing will always reflect the international prices. Save the time that there are these exceptional situations on the either end of the curve which make no meaning. And as you've seen, the road conditions don't seem to last very long.
Understood. So the domestic realizations would be broadly similar to export realizations, or is there a material difference between them?
There are always certain costs which have to be reflected when we are fixing up the domestic prices. And but they would mirror, in a way, the international prices. but there are certain extra costs that we incur, and there are also similarly certain, therefore the pricing have to reflect that to some extent.
Understood. My second question is, you did mention a few times in the conference call so far that the Chinese probably wouldn't have no appetite to take prices further, but that does not tell us anything about whether there is a price recovery coming. Now, last time when we had this low EBITDA per ton between 2Q09, it lasted for 3-4 quarters. So I'm just trying to understand the margin trend. I mean, can it further deteriorate from here given the Chinese pressure if they don't recover prices, if prices remain steady but the costs are not really moving down? Or can we see a very sharp movement up?
You know, the I've tried to explain a number of times today that at the present level of input cost, the Chinese are pretty much holding up their prices at current levels. Now, if you say that how long this would last and whether there can be a sudden increases in margins and prices, those would depend upon what happens globally. So, if you ask, can there be a sudden shooting up of prices, that's only likely in case there is a major catastrophe around cotton crop. Now, cotton crops can get impacted by weather, it can get impacted by drought, it can get impacted by flood, it can get impacted by infections. So, those are aspects which have in past also led to fluctuations in volumes. If you recall even that 2 years ago, the flooding in Pakistan also has played a major role in shooting up of prices. Our estimate today is that it's unlikely that there would be a substantial run-up in the prices. Similarly, we do not think that it is possible for prices to come down significantly from this level. We would expect the price levels to prevail and in case to also gradually reflect the increase in cost that is taking place, because China is also energy deficient country. So what cost of energy goes up for them also goes up for them. And therefore I view all of these as positive, that they would also have to play by the commercial rule, and that should mean that we would not expect the prices to come off from this level of, you know, fine. When you look at prices, obviously I'm talking about also in the context of a significant raw material like pulp. So we do not expect these to come off very much off from these current levels. If anything, we see a slight uptick sometimes, but again, unless the whole global economic situation stabilizes, we don't see a run-up until there's some catastrophic thing to happen to cotton. In our view, an increase in prices from current levels is warranted just for the healthy growth of the industry, the entire value chain, not only ours. At the same time, a huge run-up in the prices like we saw in 10-11 is possibly not good for the industry, because then the whole value chain suffers, and then you have a short period of good times followed by a long period of suffering. So those extremes are never good and in pricing for any industry. But certainly we do believe that for a longer term trend, if you were to look at it, and the margins have to improve from the current level.
Sure. And my last question is, I mean, the Chinese do operate sub-economic capacities in many industries like cement, steel, aluminum. From a VSF point of view, what do you sense in terms of, are they adding further capacities over there? I'm just trying to understand that, is Chinese overcapacity increasing materially or has it peaked out in your view?
You know, the Chinese have a stated goal of wanting to increase their capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And until last year, at least, the capacity kept increasing. Right now, there is a bit of a, you know, sort of slowdown in their buildup of capacity. But again, I think they look at the situation in the same long-term way that we described, that globally, the demand for fibers would go up. Globally, people expect demand for VSF to go up. And therefore, there would be additions to VSF capacity. Again, there I would like you to appreciate the fact that the integrated model that we have has always given us a leg up over others. Like based on our own pulp capacities and our long-term contract for pulp, we are covered 100%. I think one of the few manufacturers in the world to have that particular strength. Again, if you see globally, I think we are the only ones who also have integration into caustic, which is gives us a major strength because then the cycles are down. Typically, the global cycles are down. Typically, caustic seems to hold better because of the deterioration in PVC prices and therefore the fall in chlorine prices. So that gives us some insulation against that. We are one of the few who has CS2 plants. We have manufactured 100% of our own CS2. We have our own cogen plant. So see, we have taken a number of steps to fundamentally put our business on a much stronger footing through this integrated model. And that plus the focus on efficiencies, the focus on executing our plans well, is what would make us stand out. And again, we are focusing more on specialty products in our new lines that we'll add in expansion. All of these are steps which we have taken to differentiate ourselves and make sure that we continue to outperform over a long period of time.
Understood. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Goyal from SBI Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir. All my questions have been answered. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ritu Modi from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thank you so for taking my question. So you said earlier in your opening comments that you had the fuel costs have been... you have been optimizing your fuel mix. So if you could just give me a sense of what is your fuel mix in terms of how much comes through linkage and pet coke and imported coal?
See, basically what we are doing is, since the pet coke is available more economically, we are using higher pet coke.
Okay.
And as we have said, from time to time, about 30% of the domestic... about 30 to 33% of the domestic is given by the Coal India on a linked basis. The rest, actually, either we import or we purchase from the open market.
So how much would be your pet coke usage, if you could just give a rough percentage?
It's around 29%.
29. So because last time, if I remember, in the last call, you had mentioned that it is around 15%.
No, but see, again, this pet coke uses any vary based on the price, and the differential. See, that is precisely what we are saying, is that our product mix has, this fuel mix has changed, and that has any benefited.
So
pet coke used to be at a higher price. At that time, there was no sense in using pet coke. When the pet coke prices have come down, it makes sense to use pet coke.
So typically, the pet coke prices in this quarter have come down, and that's why your pet coke usage has increased.
Yeah.
We increased the pet coke consumption by 10% during this quarter.
Actually, the advantage with us is that most of our plant has a facility to use multiple any kind of fuel, and that is why we have this flexibility of reducing the energy cost.
Okay. And so how much would be the imported, only the imported coal percentage?
Import is around 44%.
44%. Okay. So secondly, you mentioned that in your presentation, you mentioned that capacity additions till FY15 are somewhere close to 66 million tons. If you could just give a sense of how much of that 66 million tons is going to come in FY13, and if you just have a rough split of each region.
16.
Based on the announcement, it seems that 25 million tons may come in this year, but it doesn't look like, in past also, announcements have not materialized fully. And so therefore, we expect it can be in the range of 20 million tons also.
And a regional split would be difficult, is it?
That is right.
Okay. So, and lastly, the freight cost has gone up in the month of March. So, how do you see this cost going forward? Do you expect a material how much would the increase the incremental cost be on a per ton basis?
So actually our lead distance during this quarter has come down from 441 kilometer to 437 kilometer. The important is freight is because you know in the recent railway budget, the government has increased the railway fare by 22%.
Yes, sir.
And that is why the cost per ton is impacted because of increasing railway freight.
Okay, so but so going forward also, you do not expect your lead distance to increase significantly from the 437 kilometers, which is
no, right. Not question of lead distance. Lead distance is in fact coming down.
Okay.
But because of the railway freight increase by the government, the overall per ton freight has gone up.
Okay.
So in this regard, this will be. See, we are improving our logistic network, and actually that should give us any advantage of reducing costs by having more terminals and more grinding units at a place near to the sale.
Okay. So if I'm not wrong, your logistic mix in terms of road and rail, I think around 40% is through rail, if I'm not wrong?
Yeah.
40%. Okay. Okay, thank you so much, sir. I'll come back in line if I have any further questions.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is on VSF side. Mr. Maheshwari, you mentioned about lag impact on domestic pricing. So considering that global VSF prices are stable, but rupee has meaningfully depreciated between fourth quarter and now, by when do you expect repricing to happen in the domestic market?
There has been a slight adjustment that we have done upward to the prices that you first made. But again, if you were to tell me that do I keep changing, and if it was 52 that day and today 53.5, would I change my price? Answer is no.
Sure.
But no, that it's going to be 58 by the end of this month, or we'll be back at 48, you know.
Sure.
Maybe Pranamda gives you some good tidings because we're hearing so much
today.
I understand.
Therefore, it's so difficult. But again, you know, and like I said, we've got to also provide some bit of stability. And what happens again is even for our customers, when they book an order with us, they again in turn have their commitments. You know, industry doesn't operate on the basis of a financial transaction where the opposite side of the transaction gets completed the same moment, file sale gets completed at the same time. And therefore, I think it's in the interest of the industry to provide some semblance of stability. You know, if you were to change your price every day, then you'll become like Brazil.
Sure. No, I understand. So obviously, I mean, your consumers expect stability from you in terms of pricing.
I think you have to look at, my request to you is you have to look at these from the industry's perspective rather than the financial market perspective.
Definitely. So what kind of price correction we have taken from 1st of May?
It's gone up by about roughly 4 rupees a kg, you know, by certain adjustments because you have to see which segment. Because, you know, again, we have to look at various segments, and some segments tend to do well, which can take a price up.
Sure.
And some segments cannot take that up. So, you know, you have to make sure that your customer, because if your customer doesn't survive after a price hike,
obviously, yeah,
no point having a price hike.
That's true.
We haven't gone very aggressively because the global environment is not one where, you know, all of us could be celebrating. We have gone for a very calibrated increase.
Fair enough. And so secondly, with respect to global demand supply scenario for VSF, any sense on what utilization rate globally industry would be operating at?
China continues to fluctuate between anywhere, you know, their ramping down of capacity to 68%, 65% is also fairly rapid.
Okay.
Demand picks up, they again more to 80. The rest of us, like ourselves and maybe one or two of our competitors, we operate almost flat out, you know, we always operate at 100%.
Right.
Largely based on the, as I explained to you, the inherent stress that we start operating from.
Okay. Okay. And coming to your export side, you indicated 20-25% of your production is exported. Do we expect this to change meaningfully over the next couple of years, considering new capacity coming in on the specialty side? And so,
yeah,
do we?
Specialties, India as a textile center has been lagging behind in use of specialties.
Right.
Therefore, obviously, it is a time that market. We have already started taking steps in growing that market based on import of some of these specialties from our overseas operations. For the group. And so we started the market seeding operations already. But obviously, it takes time for those to grow. Until the time the demand in India picks up, those specialties would have to be exported.
Okay.
Coming from our experience of marketing them from our global operations, that there would be a good demand for them, and we should be able to place those products meaningfully again.
Sure. So this 20-25% can meaningfully increase over next couple of years.
Specialty portion is going to increase when the specialties come on stream, because certainly it's not possible for the
conventional
specialties to shoot up in India when traditionally India has not been very strong on specialty part of it.
That's true.
But, having said that, we find that whatever seeding we are doing, the Indian textile industry is responding very well to that. There's always, whenever you come up with new products and introduce new products, the whole value chain has to work together. And textile industry is a fairly long and complicated value chain, so we'll have to work together with them to ensure that these products grow rapidly in India. But the global indications on that are fairly encouraging. So we look upon it with optimism.
Right. And so lastly, on pulp coverage, long-term contract or captive pulp, how much? You indicated it's almost 100% currently?
Right, 100% currently. Of course, when our new plant starts out, it would tend to go down, so we would have to cover ourselves.
Okay.
We are evaluating all options for us to even cover those quantities. But we don't anticipate any difficulty because we have a fairly strong position on pulp, so we do believe that we'll be able to structure the pulp supplies for us very strongly in a very fair manner for us.
Right. Thanks, sir. And last question on cement side. Can you throw more light on Star Cement? How did it perform in FY12 with respect to EBITDA and PAT?
Yeah, actually, see, there is a positive development. Star Cement, the capacity utilization has improved. During this quarter, Q4, the realization, the selling price, which was around $52 per ton, has improved to $59 per ton.
Okay.
And at EBITDA level, the Star is around 36 crore.
36 crores for full year?
For the quarter.
And for the full year?
It remains the same almost.
Okay.
Q4 it was 26 crore, and for the whole year it is around 35 crore.
Okay, 35 crores for the full year. And at PAT level, what kind of losses it would have?
There is no cash loss. There is a marginal cash profit for the year as a whole.
Marginal cash profit.
Yeah.
Okay, and we expect this to change in FY13, especially considering uptick in prices?
I think we used to make 100 rupees per ton EBITDA in Q2 and Q3. Now it has improved to 350 rupees to 360 rupees per ton.
Okay. And we expect this to sustain in FY13? Sorry?
It should improve.
Understood. And the last question on cement, there have been various news articles pertaining to your global aspirations with respect to adding capacities or acquiring capacities globally. Can you throw more light on it? I understand you might be evaluating opportunities, but otherwise, what's your long-term strategy on that account? Do you want to continue to be focusing on India, or you want to be a global cement maker? I mean, can you throw light on that?
Actually, we have repeated this time to time. First, our first priority is the domestic. We would like to keep our market. Domestic market is growing, and therefore, we would like to encash that market fully. And therefore, always the first priority will be the domestic market. Then we will go around the Indian Ocean rim so that it can serve better to Indian market whenever this constraint comes in India. Because of this, and thereafter, and if we definitely examine from time to time any global aspirations, but that will happen, that will not happen at the cost of domestic market.
Okay. But we do look at opportunities.
You always look at opportunities from time to time, and see, unless something materializes and something is clear, then it is too premature to talk on those opportunities.
Okay, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Operator, how many...
Thank you.
Sorry. Operator, how many questions we have in the pipeline?
Sir, we still have four more questions.
Okay, we'll take it. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, just a reminder, each participant is requested to limit their questions up to two. If you have any further questions, kindly come back through the queue. We have the next question from the line of Rajesh Kumar from Carvey Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir.
Yes.
So what would be in the cement business sales volume guidance for FY13, primarily India operations? And could you discuss on the coal prices currently versus the actual landed cost that you incurred in fourth quarter, both petcoke and imported prices?
I think the volume growth which we are talking about is 8% plus.
Okay.
So we are expecting the volume to continue to grow at 8%, at the rate of 8%. So far, in terms of coal prices is concerned, the imported coal prices FOB that South Africa is coming down, but at the same time, the rupee is depreciating. So it's imported is neutralized, though the prices is FOB is coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And petcoke, I think, more and less is stable prices.
In terms of what would be your landed petcoke prices, in either in terms of rupees per kilo cal?
Hi, this is Sharad here.
Hi.
You know, we cannot discuss the exact numbers.
No, I just wanted to understand, compared to petcoke versus imported coal, what would be the amount of differential that was possible currently that you, because you said that you increased the share of petcoke because you finding it more, economical compared to...
Again, we are repeating that this is a continuous product. This used, all our plants have multi-fuel facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what is available, more economical, we try to vary that mix.
Mm-hmm.
As on date, yes, petcoke prices is cheaper by 20-25% as compared to imported coal.
Okay, and sir, just on the volume growth guidance at the 8%, this year we did close to 5% volume growth.
8% is what we are thinking the industry will grow, and our average utilization is
94
minutes. See, Q4 it was 94, but overall it was 86% for the year, and we will always strive to go for 100% utilization.
No, just wanted to clarify, in FY12 we grew by close to 5%, around 5% YOY. So, if the industry itself is, the capacity situation would remain, linger around over capacity situation, would it be possible for you to grow at, close to industry growth?
If you have put capacities, then it will be always our endeavor to use the capacities fully. Mm-hmm. But we are showing that what is the demand growth,
Right.
We are expecting 8%.
Right. Yeah. Thanks, sir. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddhant Kumar from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
So if you could share with me the current prevailing pulp prices and what is our procurement price and how has the trend been for FY12?
The current prices of pulp are around $1,000 plus or minus a small range. We have different contracts with different units because at different suppliers fixed up at different points of time. And again, I would like to reiterate that, you know, the specifics of every contract and therefore the average pricing of that tend to become little sensitive information, which I do believe is not in the interest of even our investors to be broadcast outside. All of those get reflected in a very transparent manner in the margin ratio that you have shared with you. But yes, to give you an indication, you know, $1,000 plus minus is the range.
Sure, so because I think last quarter we had shared some detail about it being around close to $1,100, and I think what news flow suggests is that there's been some softening in line with the VSF prices.
Yes.
So just wanted to get an idea, you know, if we have to build in.
So that's why I told you around 1,000 plus minus, you know, it always moves in a band, $25-$50 plus minus, that's how it has been more.
Sure, sir. My second question relates to your cement business. Just wanted to get an understanding of your RMC division. What was the sales for the full year?
RMC turnover is around 1,800 crore. What is the growth?
800 crores.
Yeah.
Sure, sir. What is our capacity as of date?
It's 11 million cubic meter.
11 million. Sure, sir. Thank you for my question.
Thank you.
Actually, RMC, we have a growth of around 30% as compared to last year.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Srihari Sheshadri from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Sir, you had mentioned an 8% volume growth for the for coming year. But can you just give us the region-wise, I mean, how do you see each region growing for the how do you arrive at this 8% number?
The Planning Commission also is not able to give any this kind of information, so why do you expect?
No, sir, but you would have an idea, no, sir.
It's a very large of this information.
Actually, we are pan-India producers. We expect that demand to come in from all the zones equally. But it is very difficult to make a forecast for what is happening in each zone.
Right. Okay, but any proof region
so
that
you basically our this demand growth of 8% is driven by what is the GDP growth, and we expect the GDP growth should be 6-7% and 1.2-3 times of that and it will be 8%.
Right, sir. Okay, sir, that's it, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Radha Krishnan from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thank you for taking my question. Sir, can you please explain me a bit more on this freight expenses for this quarter? If I am calculating, please rectify me. Last quarter looks like the freight expense was around 820 rupees and this quarter at 931. Can you please tell me why this jump has happened?
This quarter freight cost is around 850 rupees, not 900. I don't know how you have got this figure.
Okay.
As Mr. Birla explained in his earlier talk that, you know, because of the railway freight increase by the railways by 22% in the last 15 months, the railways have increased the freight by 33%. That has reflected in the per kilometer cost. Otherwise, our lead distance has come down.
Okay, can you please tell me what was for the last quarter then? This quarter, if it is 850 rupees per ton, what was for the last quarter for the DTB?
It was 827.
It was?
827.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. That was the last question from the participant. I would now like to hand the floor over to Mr. Jagdishwar Topo for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of Enam Securities, we thank Mr. K.K. Maheshwari, Mr. Radesh Gupta, Mr. K.C. Birla, the senior management team of Grasim and Ultratech, and all the participants taking the valuable time out to end this conference call. Please conclude the conference call. Thank you.
Thanking all on behalf of Enam Securities Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.